Hello, welcome to Time Pop or Rotten Popcorn, whichever one you are starting with. This is a very unique situation for Time Pop and extra awesome situation for our inaugural episode of Rotten Popcorn. Yes, they are not the exact same episode. I did not post the same episode on my Time Pop feed and the Rotten Popcorn feed. If you are going to listen to both of them, I would recommend listening to Rotten Popcorn first and then listening to Time Pop, because just the general format of the shows is Rotten Popcorn is just more of a general discussion about the movie, and we go into some other things. The premise of Rotten Popcorn is that we choose movies that have a wide gap, a vast difference in the critics and audience ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. So we chose The Butterfly Effect because it is obviously a time travel movie, and it also has a vast difference on Rotten Popcorn between fans and critics. Enjoy The Butterfly Effect, starring Scott Lifton, Ariel Galah, Desmond McNeese. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are all amazing.
Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
And can I bring up some interesting facts right now?
No. Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our composition book.
Or nosebleed.
Oh, no. We will be your hemorrhaging nosebleed. We will be your Constance. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And now this is
Time Pop.
So here we are, our inaugural crossover extravaganza.
This is so exciting. You know, there's like all the Avengers crossovers, but I think they pale in comparison to what's happening here tonight.
And why are we watching The Butterfly Effect, Scott?
Well, this is a crossover film in two ways. It is a time travel film, so chock full of interesting theory for Time Pop. And in addition, it works for Rotten Popcorn in that this movie has a huge variance between the critics' review and the audience review.
The Butterfly Effect from 2004, anywhere from 113 to 120 minutes, depending on what version you find. Written and directed by Eric Breeze and J. Mackey Gruber, the Wonder Team, who have nothing in their past, but they have a combined 10 upcoming projects. So I don't know if they're trying to butterfly effect their future, but they seem to be busier than their projects show. Starring Ashton Kutcher, Amy Smart, Eric Stoltz, Melora Walters, and plenty of other people. Oh, the father, I don't know who the actor was, but he's the creepy guy from Pet Sematary. I always recognize that guy.
Oh,
Dad is the creepy guy.
By the way, I think those directors worked on Final Destination or one of those.
Yeah. I was going to get to that.
Okay.
Well, just because, like, it's... I haven't seen Final Destinations that much. They worked on the second one in the reboot, and... But yeah, there was something just thematically, the lenses they used, the amount that they just kept coming up with cleverer and cleverer ways to ruin someone's past. This was very, very Final Destination-y. Do you have Ashton's full character name somewhere?
Yes.
What is it?
Evan Treborn.
Event Reborn. Clever.
Event Reborn. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. You get it?
That actually ties into the original ending, Event Reborn.
You fucking get it? So we're gonna move into some serious time travel stuff here in just a minute. Yeah. What other chaos was he causing throughout the world?
It was his life. It was just like, oh, if I do this, this has an effect on my girlfriend or my best friend. Small potatoes for what they're starting with on the quote of chaos theory and what the butterfly effect really means, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the chaos theory is you know, they talk about the tiniest of little changes affects the future, but it still applies to this because he changed something. Mind you, it was drastic and it altered the future. So it still applies.
You change things, it affects things.
But when you talk about actually calling the chaos theory butterfly effect, it makes you think of the tiniest thing, like a butterfly flapping its wings,
right,
makes these huge changes when, you know, this is chaos theory, but not so much butterfly effect.
That's what I want to see, a time travel film where, like I said, you decide to not drink that Coca-Cola and the world burns. I want to see a small
Scott,
thing.
Yeah. You always drink the Coca-Cola.
Desmond likes soda.
But yeah, and these are in this group of people that we're following, these are not butterfly flaps. These are
just changes.
Condor. These are major changes.
Yeah.
These are big deals that.
But you know, you make those changes and you don't know what's going to happen, thus chaos theory.
Because I mean, he could just go back and pop his mom's tire on their way to
school,
George's house, or just something, just slow that car down. They don't get to Kaylee's house at the same time. Rob the truck with the cameras on it, and they don't never come to town. So, do you have any laws that you can lay down?
Yeah. So, Ari, for this movie, The Butterfly Effect, the laws of this universe are you time travel not physically, but just mentally into your past self. So, your body is not actually going through time, your consciousness is. So you time travel back to when you were 7 or when you were 13. And this is all in one timeline. So you do travel back and change something. You're changing it within the same one timeline. You're not creating an alternate universe.
What kind of control does he have? So we know, did you get the sense he could have stayed as long as he wanted to? Or does he stay as long as his
blackout was?
Diary.
Oh.
I think that, and this, you know, in my opinion, I think he did have the control. In my opinion, this being a loop that, you know, his original blackout when he was 7 was as long as it needed to be because of when he went back when he was 27, he needed this amount of time. And that's just how the story was written. So in a sense, yes, I feel like he could control it because there was never a point in the movie where he's like, I need to stay to complete this thing. Oh no, I don't have enough time. And it ends before he could complete that thing. So I think, he could control it and he could stay there as long as he needed to.
So this is my new bugaboo now with all of these movies. And I know I'm banging my head against a brick wall. The first time, where did the blackouts come from?
It's not linear. It's loop.
It's a loop.
But there's a hole. I know where you're going. There's a hole.
If the blackouts are because of time travel, and he time travels because of the blackouts,
it's a loop. It's always happened that way. That's the only explanation.
I feel like maybe he passed out. Maybe he was just, he lost consciousness because of the trauma. Like maybe he's just one of those cats that
you could try to say it's that. I mean, it'd be very coincidental. Those are all the times he went back to that he had the blackouts.
You could say that he only can travel back to when he had those blackouts. Maybe he did just black out, you know, normally.
He wrote about it because he's blacking out and losing time. But then at some point after that, he's journaling and if he has these memories written in clear English,
it's a hole.
Then why does he have to go back to find out what happened?
Exactly. It's a whole.
Well, no, he writes up into the point where he blacks out.
There were some of the journal entries he goes back and he's actually explaining the things he doesn't remember. There, that when he goes back and reads it, he's like, I didn't want to be in that movie anyway. And they're making me take my shirt off. Later on, he was just like, I had no idea what happened with the dog. He's talking about smelling the dog burning and all that.
I think he was writing the journal from when he woke up, because when he woke up, his shirt was off and he was filming a movie. So then he went to his journal and wrote, I had my shirt off and I didn't want to be in this movie. So he's writing it from
even when the house exploding, I think he wrote about that when he didn't know what happened. I mean, I remember watching this movie. I mean, it seems like what she's saying could be, but I could have sworn that they were going over content that he shouldn't have remembered. He could have went back and read his journal and then he would have known.
So he marked his books blackout, and those were major stress points in his life, so things he wanted to address anyways. Well, no, he went back to that one. Oh no, but that class he was drawing that weird picture.
Are we talking about holes yet?
Could he go anywhere in theory?
He was only trained to go back to when he was reading about that.
No. But
and then later on, it was the film.
I guess we might be getting into holes because that film wasn't a blackout.
It doesn't have to be that he only travels to a blackout. that only happened. He blacked out when his older self took over his younger self.
So he could read anywhere in his journal. Well, anywhere, so he could go
back anywhere. They're just, but again, it's a loop. So all those times he blacked out are when he went back.
The only time he went back that was not a blackout
is the end.
Was the very end at the party with the video.
In the video.
But you want to bring it? Can I bring up the one hole?
Yeah.
The one hole.
Well, there's a bunch of holes.
you start the first hole, then we'll let
in all of the times he, dig a few in all holes. The times he goes back, it's a loop. All the times he loses his memory is when the older self of him goes back, right? And in most of the movie, that makes sense. When he comes back, he grabs the knife. That's what he had done. The one time that doesn't make sense is in the beginning when they're doing the movie for the pedophile dad. The first time that happens, they show him coming out of it. And the dad is acting like they did it. It happened. You understand what I'm saying?
But they did what?
Whatever unspeakable acts they did.
No,
he's... In the first one, the dad is still like drunk and like he's still in that mode. When they first show that, he comes to, we're just showing that he blacked out. For him to black out, we know that he came back to the past. In that moment, anytime he came back to the past, he changed it and told the dad to straighten it out. And they did not do the unspeakable acts.
Oh,
no, do you hear what I'm saying?
In the movie, they don't do the unspeakable acts because when he...
The first time... Remember, when he looks at her, he's like, what do we do? And she's like freaked out. I watched it very carefully this time. The dad is still like... drinking his drink and
I think the dad just made them take their clothes off.
It's still a different ending. Whenever he went back to that time, he called the dad out on stuff. But that first time they're showing it, it's like he didn't say that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the blackout starts, one of the times that he goes back, the blackout starts when they're still in the backyard. And then the dad said, let's go into the basement. Right. And then he starts talking about, okay, take your clothes off just like we do for bath time. And then he, you know, right. corrects him. But the first time when he wakes up, they just have their clothes off. But the dad's like, you know.
Still... It doesn't even get to that, though, when he does go back. It shouldn't get to the clothes being off.
Wait, right, because he comes out of it and his clothes are off when he's...
But it should never, when he goes right. back, he straightens out the dad and doesn't let that happen.
Yeah, he still has his clothes on.
So that should never have happened.
For a few of the timelines.
Well, again... If it's a loop, he went back there. The reason his mind is blacked out is his future self came back.
But that's,
so that's
whole
how it happened. Unless you start going into alternate timelines and then some other stuff. But we're talking about
looping.
A hole in all of his jumps, though.
No, but the other ones... happened like they happened. They happened because he came back.
What about the stick of dynamite?
Yeah, originally it's still the same reaction. I mean, until he changes it.
Wait, what?
Oh, which is now we're going into some other
stuff. So he goes back the second time. He's still got his shirt on. He's just like, wait, I need to get my belt. And he takes the thing out and blows her up, right? He had his shirt on at that point, and they were already down in the basement. There's one point where he goes back and they're still in the backyard, and then he says, let's go into the basement. And then he corrects them.
I mean, he's changing
but
it.
So what it's going happened from the first time when Kaylee was a waitress, and then he went to college for 7 years, he disappeared for 7 years, and then he came back.
Before he traveled, the very first time.
Yeah.
When he blacked out, I took it as he blacked out when they were in the backyard, right before he said, let's go downstairs. They go downstairs. I took it as the dad made them take their clothes off. And then he was like, wait, what's going on? I don't want to do this.
They suggest that more happened. But even in that, he's only blacked out because he came back to the past.
I think.
If he came back to that past.
But. I think the first time it's his knowledge that something is wrong in that house.
The first time he travels back?
No, the first time he goes through.
Just a psychological blackout.
The first time he goes through it, he just knows. And that's why Kaylee and...
So, I mean, okay, let's
Tommy.
Get dark here. We're thinking that the dad made the two kids have sex? Like what?
Even if he didn't, I'm still saying you saw the times he went back, which is why the blackouts occur.
Let's talk about something less gross. They drop the stick of dynamite in the mailbox,
mm-hmm.
and it goes off. He blacks out.
No, so, he blacks out before it goes off.
Okay, but if he's blacking out because he's being taken control of by his older self,
right?
Why doesn't he rush the mailbox the first time? Since the first
blackout, he didn't change anything. That was him just kind of going back and experiencing it when that happened. That's why everything still went along
right.
the time.
He did see him just experience.
He just experienced it a few times. Yeah.
All right, I guess we're going to get gross again. I think those kids at least kissed.
Yeah, no, but when he went back to the kids, he changed it. But they don't show the first time you see that, they don't show the results of that. Again, every time, every blackout makes sense when he just observed, nothing changes, or he changed he goes back and changes it, that the blackout occurred, but there's nothing, everything, they did something unspeakable that he did not want to do, and the dad is still in shitty dad mode. We've seen all the times he goes back to the past, so it's just, it's a small hole.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about it more later. We're wasting too much time.
This is the crux of the whole thing, though. It sucks that we have to talk about pedos to get there.
Yeah, we'd rather not
but
talk
I think,
about that.
I think it's Ari might be right. It's tough to tell because, yeah, he blacks out in the backyard. Because, yeah, I definitely got the feeling that something happened. But I think what mostly happened is that he just became aware of that house's yucky situation, whether or not anything happened at that moment with the camera or not.
I'm just saying, we saw when his older self went back to that time why he blacked out, and he didn't just sit there and observe. We'll rewatch it again. It's fine.
I think the first time through are trauma blackouts, and then
unless it's a
that's
trauma
what
blackout.
He's accessing so with wait, his time travel.
So wait, you're referring to when the mailbox blew up and we know that he went back, he just witnessed it for the first time, and that's when he dropped a cigarette and burned himself?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
That's another problem with the loop theory, because again, he had the blackout when that first happened and there was not the cigarette hole. So why now does the cigarette hole happen? Why did that not happen originally?
That was the moment that he realized that he could change. That's the moment that he realized that if something different happens, it affects the present and I can change things. And that's when he was like, let me see what else I can do.
Right. Because up until that point, he was just having
visions.
But then the cigarette burn on his belly tells
but
him
it's
otherwise.
Ruining, it ruins the loop theory concept. Then.
So my
you're ruining the loop
theory. My thought on the loop theory is the whole thing is a loop and within it are the little loops.
Right.
So he experiences it, you know, like for the basement scene, he goes back a couple of times for that. So that's a couple of loops that changes the future a few different times when he loops. But
right,
the whole thing is a loop, especially if you stick with the director's cut, how he goes back to being a baby and kills himself, and he's done that a couple of times, that the whole thing is a loop,
mm-hmm.
but the few little changes he makes within the timeline, the little loops that affect the outcome before the big loop where he goes back to kill himself as a baby.
Is the incident in the basement what really sets Tommy off? Because let's say Ashton dies in utero, and then Tommy and Kaylee grow up with gross dad.
No.
Did he spare them?
No. Tommy and Kaylee grow up with mom. Remember she said, I didn't want to go live with my mom. That's why the whole backyard.
But Tommy would have stayed with dad. So
no, she said they asked us if.
That was her.
That's interesting.
That was her choice.
I
think Tommy stays with dad because dad lets him run amok.
I'm pretty sure it was, and then one of the scenes the happy ending they showed Tommy doing well with mom as well. I think it was, you know, and they gave us a choice to live with mom or dad, and I chose dad because I wanted to be around you, and Tommy probably just stayed with because he's obsessed with his sister.
So he helps.
Makes
the ultimate sacrifice.
He would have followed his sister.
Yeah.
You're right.
He takes a sacrifice. He throws himself out. Everyone else does better.
Imagine, and then George becomes the janitor at the local school, and all of those kids have horrible.
Right, maybe he makes it worse. That's what the sequel should have been. There's no way that any of this ends well.
Yeah, we have to. I don't know about have to, but I'm going to watch the sequels now.
Watch the trailers. You might.
Is there any difference? Like, is there any bonus? Like, does the time travel get any weirder? Would that be fun to talk about? Or is it just.
Watch the trailers.
Do you mean the alternate endings?
No.
No.
Butterfly Effect 2 and 3. Remember we watched the trailers?
Oh.
It gets. It's like, how far would you go to save the one you loved? And then it's just like, it goes deeper into horror.
No, it looks so bad.
I'll put them on while I'm editing these. I'm going to put on
Butterfly Effect 2.
I don't think I can deal with those, Des.
Cool.
I don't think I can do
them.
I'll
take one for the
team.
Especially
not the third.
I'll take one for the team.
You might be doing that episode by yourself.
Am I doing, while we're on the subject, this will probably get cut out. Am I doing Terminator 3, 4, and 5 alone?
I'll do the Terminator movies with you, but I won't do the Butterfly Effect.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, do all the Terminators.
I wouldn't drag you into anything.
We talked about this concept of like had the well-adjusted life, they ended up in a fraternity, a sorority, and that shows like well-adjustedness. Is that strange to anybody else?
I don't think they were showing well-adjustedness. Well,
they're just showing an extreme difference.
It's an extreme difference, yeah.
Yeah.
One interesting concept, they show it for just a second in when he's the frat boy and he starts hazing them. All of a sudden, that new memory starts going to his head that he knows the Greek alphabet.
Yes.
And this new version of himself where he's an asshole takes over. And that was like kind of an interesting moment.
Thank you for bringing
right?
that up. Yeah, that was because that was the only time they did that. And that could have been explored more.
You absorb the new memory of the new timeline.
Yeah, which I like. I like that effect. There's a couple of other time travel movies that do the... your consciousness travels, but your body doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I think in those movies as well, the memories and new memories being formed are a thing as well. But I have a question with, so he changes the past and it alters the future and he gets all those new memories. And then they show the footage of like that other timeline being erased. Yeah. Are they showing it being erased or are they just showing it being undone? Because they made it seem like he remembers every possible timeline.
Yeah, it's undone.
I think it's undone.
He remembers.
But he still remembers it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why his brain gets pretty scrambled. I love that aspect of it, right? They're covering. You remember the original timeline. You remember the new one.
You remember all the timelines.
And your brain can't hang with it.
Yeah, at one point you were, I think, I don't remember who said something, but yeah, he's remembering all of that. Like, this is all his past. All of these loops.
But I think Ari brought it up earlier that it's weird. It shows the new memories going into his head when he gets into a new timeline, but then he's acting like he has no idea.
Yeah.
What's going on?
That was because I think they could have found some middle ground there.
Yeah.
Where,
like, I feel like I have these new memories of us being together, but.
Yeah. I can't remember the specifics.
Or maybe it's just like major events because you don't remember every specific moment of every day of your life. So maybe it's like the major memories like prom and their first kiss and going to college. So maybe he remembers those, but he doesn't remember getting into bed with her the night before.
But didn't he even seem like
he didn't realize he was in a fraternity and that guy was his friend?
Shocked to be having sex with her.
Yes.
Because you're right. You're right. Major events, that would make sense. But he would remember, like I said, prom, first kiss. Virginity. Yeah.
I don't know. It was
all that stuff.
You know, it was fun to watch if you were under 30 years old back in 2004. You know, it was funny to watch him like be shocked that he's now in bed with this woman and watch him be silly and goofy with the girls in the bathroom. And
for the idea of this podcast, I'm glad I haven't seen this until in its entirety until now. But yeah, I do think 24-year-old me is just like freak. Or when would this, how old would I have been? See, I would have been 30.
2004.
I would have been, no.
When were you born?
Don't age yourself.
27.
Yeah, I think I was.
This is the year before.
I was 29.
You guys are so old.
This is the year before I met Kelly. This movie seems so much older than that.
So important to your life.
I put this movie five girlfriends before Kelly. I do not put this.
What?
I like that he measures time in girlfriends.
Oh, absolutely.
This was fun.
Yeah, most definitely. Overboard. That was Rosa and
wow.
Rosa.
Oh man!
I want to make a movie about Desmond's life going throughout time, just told by the movies he saw with different girlfriends.
I have a Excel spreadsheet that I'm filling out. It is where I live, the people I live with, the cars I drive, the job I have, and the girl I'm dating.
Wow.
Because those are all the things that I like. Like anytime I'm trying to piece it together, it's like, oh, I had the Subaru. Or, oh, I was working on the parking lot. Or, oh, I was
dating
so-and-so.
If you could focus on your spreadsheet, you could go back to that time and change things.
I could.
But then you'd get a nosebleed.
And then I get a nosebleed.
And an aneurysm.
And then Kelly would stab me because she's not.
And then you'd, then you'd come back.
Drive my Subaru hanging out with Jessica.
Yeah. And one of us would either be dead or dismembered or in a mental institution.
Can you guys think of other time travel movies that do the consciousness travel?
Well, obviously for TV shows, there's Travelers.
I know there's other ones out there.
And Wikipedia doesn't do this very often, but they had a very direct, you should watch Fetching Cody, a Canadian time travel film that I think is along these lines.
It sounds like a Canadian time travel film.
It does.
Well, if you think about... Time, no, not that one. About Time, is that the one where he goes in the closet?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't go back.
So this is his, you know, he was born with it, genetic power time travel. Is it About Time? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Where he has this genetic predisposition to travel, but it's not just his consciousness that goes back. He actually physically goes back.
Doesn't he go into his younger self?
Where the guy goes in the closet? No.
Yeah.
Here's the real question, Scott. Get out all your old journals. Which have all of your original movie ratings in it. Do you go back and watch Police Academy for the first time before your journal entry and change your reaction to it?
Wow. These are, now we're getting into the hard questions.
That's very specific.
I would say in one of my journal entries, it does rank the movie Frankie and Johnny at like a 9.5. And I think I should take that down a few notches. I don't know. I know I'm crossing Michelle Pfeiffer, but that's
go back in time and change that. Over
it. Let's take that down and I'll take it to a 6. Something.
Nice. Jeez. 6.
How did that beat New Jack City? We're moving forward.
Ari, do you have any home movies or journals or anything you would like to time travel into?
Yeah, I'm sure I do. And if I could, I would. You know, yeah. I'd go back and definitely change, fix, redo something.
From just the journal entry?
Not the journal entry. No, my life. An event in my life. Oh, yeah, if I could, yeah. For sure.
I don't think I would. Well,
has consequences.
When I burned all my journals way before.
You actually burned them?
Literally burned them.
That's fun. That's what Ashton Kutcher does at the end of the film.
I did that.
So you know who you are.
And most... exactly.
That was a good one. Ariel Galal, ladies and gentlemen.
And yeah, and I wrote 90% out of heartache. And I'm not the man I am today without that heartache. I need it. So I'm not changing anything. Not that's written in my... Not journal-wise.
Apparently his dad could do it just based off of a photo. So he could...
If his dad was saying it should have ended with him and he's trying to kill the son, why would the dad not just take his own life?
Because he...
Just putting that out there.
He was born before there were cameras.
The dad was?
He was just saying how you can't play God. It never ends well. You know, he's trying to kill his own son. Maybe he could have just taken his own life.
He probably got locked up and put on suicide watch and did not have access to any of his photos before he could go back and not let his son be born.
And he's scared of messing up.
And does he save his father's life too by not, since his father doesn't get to pass this horrible thing on to his son?
You guys are bringing up these good points. In some ways, the script is well done in those ways of like that she's mentioning, you know, how everybody gets saved, how Kaylee is going to go with her mother and how the dad's going to live. Everyone's going to live theoretically if he kills himself.
That's right, because the dad got bonked in the head.
So it looks like they're blaming it on what's her name's brother, but really he's kind of the problem.
The critics were wrong. That's all there is to it.
It's a great story. It was just not very well executed. I mean, if you're if you're 20 years old, it was perfectly executed back in 2004, but...
Yeah, you know what? I think you guys are right. If you take this story, you get just some better dialogue, better actors. It's a good film.
Yeah, it's a great concept, you know, especially with the director's cut, there is no room for a sequel. But with the theatrical release where he stays alive, there's absolutely room for a sequel. This movie did so well that they did Butterfly Effect 2 and 3, right?
Well, yeah.
Those were straight to video movies, but yes.
But, you know, somebody somewhere was watching.
They were so good, they had to get them in our hands faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody was watching those where they kept making them. Yeah. Some 17-year-olds were like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Love. True love. 2006 and 2009. All right. Now a little break for our contact info. Thank you for listening to Time Pop and or Rotten Popcorn. Please tell a neighbor or a friend about these shows. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know you're out there. We're doing pretty good. I'm happy with, you know, Time Pop has continued to grow. I'm hoping that Rotten Popcorn, you know, I hopefully a lot of you will cross over and tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell me about it. Let us know how you think we're doing, what you like, what you don't like, you know. We're doing this for you out there. So anything we can do to make it a little more likable or lovable for you is good for us. So I'm going to give you all of the new contact information and social media information. If you have the old stuff, keep following it. Keep posting it. I'll be doing a lot of cross posting for a while. It's going to be a long time before these older ones go down. If you're following us under the Time Pop umbrella, that's going to stay live for a long time, possibly forever. But as the network grows, I want to get more things under that one network umbrella. So that if you like one show, you might like another one. Hopefully you'll just like what we're doing in general and you'll enjoy all kinds of shows that we're doing. We got a lot of different stuff coming in the new year. Not right away, not in January, but you know, I got these two shows up and running and I want to try to do something very different and try to continue to help grow the podcast art form, so it were. You can now find the Sounds Awesome Network is at what? whatsoundsawesome.com, whatsoundsawesome.com, Facebook, What Sounds Awesome, Instagram, What Sounds Awesome. If you would like to contact us directly, let us know some movies you would like to hear us watch. Let us know your time pop theories. Let us know why the critics or audience is wrong on Rotten Tomatoes. You can send us an email at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. That is wesoundawesome@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Keep your eye on the feeds. Keep your eye on the social media. I'll let you know what's going on. This December might be a little rotten popcorn out before Rise of Skywalker. And we got a couple more episodes of this season for Time Pop. And I'm not sure exactly how those are going to come out. I will start the official every other week posting in January. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the shows. Can't wait to hear from you. And now, to the big finish. Ari, any last thoughts?
I like it. I wouldn't necessarily think that it is actually the butterfly effect, even though, yes, it is chaos theory. But, you know, I like the story of it. I did not think it was executed very well, personally.
You're right. Yeah, it was the way they said it at the beginning. It was like the butterfly effect was one part of chaos theory. So
it's just, yeah, there's another way to talk about chaos theory. They call it the butterfly effect.
So we talked about that on our first episode ever, because I didn't realize that those were synonymous terms.
Yeah.
Again, kind of a, I'm not even call it a bad movie, but not a great movie that led to some great conversation. Like, this is some interesting time travel stuff that I'm having trouble wrapping my head around, and I like that. And that's a good thing.
Would you say you guys are finding, for the most part, that the time travel movies have kind of a bleak outlook, or that there's most of them you can't time travel and things are good and optimistic and better than they were, right? Usually there's kind of a you can't fix things all the time.
There's
time,
usually
right?
consequences to traveling.
There's ethical consequences.
Because if you can just change anything, it makes for a short, happy movie.
Except for Bill and Ted. There's no consequences.
Back to the Future, they make everything better.
You're right.
Bill and Ted, there were no consequences.
And then they had to get in, Back to the Future had to get into the sequels.
But usually with everything else, it just kind of screws everything up.
He gets the 4x4, man. Leave it alone. Thank you for listening to this very special episode of Time Pop mashup collision course with Rotten Popcorn. It was not easy to find a movie that fell into these two categories. I thought that time travel would have plenty of hateful critics and adoring fans that would give us a treasure trove to choose from. And this was a great one. I think this was a perfectly weird time travel movie that deserves its rotten spread. And I hope that fans of both of these podcasts like the other show just as much. And please check them both out. See what's happening. This has been, I don't even know. We're all in the studio. I'm Desmond.
We got to do our outro for
we're just kind of introducing the, since I apparently didn't introduce the entire,
are we doing the intros or the outros
of this show? We're just talking about ourselves real quick. We'll do the official outro. Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Ariel Gala.
Take care.
Bye.
You can say bye too, Scott.
Bye.
How do you like that?